May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It really is a great pleasure to be here with you this morning, and I'm grateful to Bridget for having invited me. As well as being the Diocesan Director of Ordinands, I also work at the Cathedral, and I bring you all warm greetings from my colleagues there. They would wish me to remind you that we regularly hold you and your mission and ministry in this place in our prayers, and we'd be grateful if you'd hold us too in yours. So as we touched upon a little earlier, as the Diocesan Director of Ordinands, the majority of my ministry currently is spent meeting a wide variety of individuals and accompanying them as they seek to discern their vocation. The word vocation isn't one that we tend to hear or use a lot in common speech, but it comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. So our vocation is that which God calls us to do. And to cut to the chase straight away, if I'm here this morning to say anything at all, it's this. Regardless of how you currently spend your time and how you earn a living, if you're fortunate enough to be in paid employment, the one thing about which you can be absolutely certain is that God has given you some definite work to do, work that he has given only to you to do. Each one of us here this morning, regardless of how unlikely it might seem to you, has a vocation from God. When we're thinking about what this vocation might look like, it's important to remember that it needn't be separate from our career. Indeed, if we're to be successfully integrated people, vocation and our day-to-day work often need to go hand in hand. One of the stumbling blocks I come across a lot in my work as DDO is people's reluctance to believe that God could possibly be calling them. Now, while the requirements of different types of ministry can be daunting, we are never required to do God's work in our own strength. That's the good news. We don't have to be perfect for God to use us. Far from it. None of us is too damaged, too sinful, or too timid. And while I'm on this, I'd like to say neither of us is too busy, or too rich, or too poor, or too young, or too old to be called by God and able to be used by him. But I have to say, the realization that one might be called by God to a particular service often comes as something of a shock. Sometimes, in fact, often, God calls people who are rather settled, established, even comfortable. And the idea of change, because the one thing we can guarantee is change, the idea of change can be disquieting and nerve-wracking. But it can be really liberating to realize that we can put our trust, our life in God's hands, and that we don't have all the answers ourselves. We really can trust in God and, dare I say it, his church to nurture us and enable us as we think about our vocation. You see, understanding our vocation isn't simply a case of thinking, what would I like to do, or what would make me lots of money? Instead, vocation is about something called discernment. It requires self-knowledge, which is often painful, and self-acceptance, which requires humility. It also requires the courage that we trust our instincts, and sometimes those of others, and risk launching ourselves into the unknown. So the question really is, given that we've all got this call, even if we don't know what it is at the moment, are we prepared to be obedient to this call? Because with God, we always get a choice. Scripture, as I'm sure you'll know, is full of people who are called by God, but their responses differ considerably. Surely we would rather be those people who respond like Isaiah the prophet, as we heard just now, who, when he realizes he's being called, cries, "Here am I, send me." Or are we going to respond like Jonah? Here am I, send someone else. Or even like Moses, here am I, send Aaron, my brother. We have to decide how we're going to respond to God's call. But I think our gospel passage that we just heard has something really precious to say about how we might respond and how we might be called. Jesus goes to stay with his friends, the siblings Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. As you might expect, dinner is being prepared, and Martha is busy in the kitchen with, we can safely presume, all the other women. Her sister Mary, however, is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Martha is not best pleased with this, and which of us honestly can say that we have no sympathy for her? After all, it might be nice listening to Jesus, but someone has to peel the potatoes and make everything nice. I'm seeing some nods there. Exactly. Is Mary perhaps a bit shy of housework, we wonder? Some definite opinions. But, there's always a but. But let's not focus on this, because I think there's a really important vocational point being made in this passage. Mary's behaviour is truly shocking, but for another reason, and this is the crux of the matter. In first century Palestine, men and women were very frequently segregated. The kitchen and some other rooms in the house were firmly the domain of the women. And then there were other spaces which were definitely only for the men. So Mary, being with all the men, all Jesus' disciples, is transgressing very firm social boundaries. Everyone would have been terribly shocked. But as if, even worse, if this isn't bad enough, we're told that not only is she in the wrong room, because she's in the men's room, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, this has a very particular meaning. It doesn't mean she's sprawled at his feet and gazing up adoringly at him. That's not what it's saying. It's a very particular phrase, to sit at the feet of a rabbi, and that's how Jesus was regarded, as a rabbi, a teacher. To sit at the feet of a rabbi meant that you were his student, that you were learning from him, that you were his disciple. And this is something that was very definitely, categorically, only for men. But when Mary's inappropriate behavior is pointed out to Jesus, he's absolutely clear in his response. Mary has chosen the better part, he says. She has sensed where she is called to be. She sensed what she is called to do. And her response to that, risky though it is, pleases God, regardless of social convention. What I think it teaches us, all of us, not just women, is that there are no limits to what God can call us to do. There are no limits to where we can be welcomed and fulfilled if only we will keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So if we do respond to God's call with open hearts and willing spirits, what's in it for us? What do we receive in return? Well, Jesus promises to those who answer his call abundant life, a life with meaning and purpose. And it's this call to abundant life, to fullness of life, to real life, which demands our response. We are all called to be fully alive, to make manifest the glory of God that is in each one of us. So the truth is, regardless of how you currently spend your time and live your life, the one thing about which you can be absolutely certain is that you have some definite work to do. Work from God that only you can do. So I want to end by asking each of you this morning, how is God calling you to follow him? Each one of you. Is he calling you to serve him as a priest or a deacon in his church? Is he calling you to preach and teach, perhaps in a licensed role as a reader or something like that? Is he calling you to care for his people by exercising a pastoral ministry, such as we have in this diocese, a spa? Is it your calling to become more involved in the life of your church community by serving at the altar, leading intercessions, doing a reading, or being part of the leadership team as a warden or a member of the PCC? Perhaps God is calling you to spread the good news of his love more widely within your workplace, your family, and your local community. One of the things about being a visiting preacher, of course, is that I come in cold, if you like. I have no idea why each of you is here this morning. Perhaps you wish to learn more about Jesus. Perhaps you look forward to sharing the Eucharist and hearing a sermon each week. Maybe you're a fan of the vicar or go wild for choral music. Maybe you fancy some company after the service and have little else to do. But whatever your reason for being here, know this. God has made you for some definite purpose, and he is calling you to serve him in order that you might become the people that you were created to be. Will you listen? Will you respond in faith and hope? So as we approach the altar this morning to be fed for our journey, let us pray for the grace to discern our vocation, the courage to accept it, and the strength to follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. Thanks be to God.